Most people are blissfully unaware of the level of the trap. And that includes everything from fluoride in the water, the toxins, the chemtrails, the 5G. We are in a soup of chaotic, low vibrational, dense energy, which keeps us from connecting from that higher dimensions to where the angels are, to where the metaphysical creatures are, to that infinite wisdom. And that's why they've demonized all of these plant medicines. They don't want enlightened, healthy, vibrant, vital people. They want people who are easy to trigger into fight-flight response. They don't want self-actualized people. I was looking at standing up for one of the new mayor elections and quickly realized the whole thing, this whole, all these regional combined county authorities, it's just another layer of government where they can push through things like 15-minute cities, ULEZ, we're now calling them clean air zones. It's huge business. These are massive new markets, and it's not going to stop at you're not allowed to drive your car. It's when they get into facial recognition, digital currency, then you really will be scuppered, because if you haven't got your, if you're not up to date with whatever they tell you you have to have, you won't be able to access your money, you won't be able to travel. I mean, it's a nightmare totalitarian control system. So that's why I'm interested in politics. I want to speak out, to stand, to be a voice, to pattern interrupt, to encourage independence to stand, and just hoping that the people will wake up en masse to be able to pattern interrupt this nightmare future that we are going to be sleepwalking into if we don't stand up and say no.
Welcome to The Wellness Way with me, Philly J. Lay, a layperson's guide to your natural health systems, your very own NHS. I'd like to thank today's sponsors of the Wellness Way podcast, London Nootropics. London Nootropics adaptogenic coffee blends are designed to help you stay balanced and elevate your day. They give you all the benefits of regular coffee, but they minimize the side effects such as the jitters, anxiety, and that well-known crash. Lovingly made with the highest quality medicinal mushroom extracts and other adaptogens, each blend is designed for a specific purpose. Flow for mental clarity and focus, Zen to alleviate stress and anxiety, and Mojo for that natural boost. You can read more about their blends and the adaptogens they contain on their website, londonnootropics.com. And if you'd like to learn more about their blends and their astonishing journey, why don't you go and check out our podcast episode together, where you can learn more about the boys from London Nootropics. And don't forget to use my exclusive discount, Philly20, for your 20% off. Cheers, London Nootropics. Enjoy the rest of the show. Hello, lovely people, and welcome to another episode of The Wellness Way. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I had a fantastic episode up with London Nootropics, who are also the sponsor of this podcast. And we talked about adaptogen coffees and all the joys of adaptogens, which I completely love. But the interesting thing is that they were on the Dragon's Den. Now, I have a guest for you today who was one of the original dragons on the Dragon's Den. And also by coincidence, and you know, guys, that I don't believe in coincidences, we happen to be in the year of the dragon. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce this week's guest, the wonderful Rachel Elnor Love. Rachel, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me, Philly. It's great to be here.
Oh, I love having you on here. I'm a massive fan of your work, and everything you've been putting out for the last 4 years has just been a joy to behold. We're going to start this program with the year of the dragon. So you were a dragon. Tell me, first of all, what was it like being a dragon on Dragon's Den?
Well, it's ancient history for me now, because that was back in 2005. But the interesting thing about being on that very first series was that the BBC had taken the concept, which was originally a Japanese concept, and they were creating it for Western audiences. So it was fascinating to actually be part of that creative process of actually being part of the establishing the concept. And then, of course, now it's kind of like a formula. But if you ever watch that first series, it's got a kind of authenticity and an integrity, and there's a spontaneity to it, which you don't quite get with the modern series. But it's been an amazing success for the BBC, and our episodes were syndicated worldwide, and then they licensed on the concept. So it's like every country has got a version of Dragon's Den. So it was an amazing invitation and an opportunity to be part of the show, which completely transformed my life. And still people, you know, still people are referring to it 20 years on, you know, and yeah. I've completely moved on in my life, but I've still got this kind of dragon persona.
The Wellness Way presents Barbara O'Neill. Barbara is coming to talk in London, June the 11th, 2024. Go to phillyjlay.com to secure your tickets now. We'll see you there. Well, you were a very successful entrepreneur then. You had Red Letter Day, which was a fantastic company. I used to buy Red Letter Days for anybody very special in my life. So my ex-husband had a lot of kind of trips around racetracks or hot air balloons, or, you know, it was an amazing, amazing concept for a business. And you had come from really humble beginnings. You lived above the shop. You were, you know, kind of... You had all these brothers that kind of took over your life, and you kind of flourished to become this hugely successful entrepreneur and then a dragon. So just give us a brief background how that happened.
Yeah, well, yes, I grew up above my dad's shop, and it was like an electrical retail shop, but he also had a team of contractors. So there was a whole business of men going out to rewire houses. So it was amazing just to grow up completely surrounded by business. And I spent a lot of my childhood in my dad's shop, and I did my own little Christmas gift stand and making things and selling them. So it was a really good training. And then I didn't get into university, and I just got a job as an office junior in a local firm of accountants. And that was a really precious experience to spend about 7 years in accountancy and really I got that kind of business financial grounding. But I was specializing in the taxation of entrepreneurs and small businesses. And I worked my way up to Arthur Andersen, which was then the number one accountancy firm in the world. I had like amazing, inspiring clients like Sir Terence Conran, who created Habitat, and Anna Vinton, who created Reject Shop. And it was very much that time back in the 80s of all of these amazing women, like Anita Roddick with Body Shop and Sophie Merman of Sock Shop, and Debbie Moore, Pineapple. Yeah, she was the first woman to float on the stock exchange.
Oh, she was, yeah.
Yeah, so there was this tremendous sort of feeling of female entrepreneurs rising, and it was very inspiring. So eventually, when I was 24, I set up Red Letter Days, thinking it would be easy, and quickly discovering just how challenging it is to start in business. And in fact, 90% of women fail in business, 90% of startups. It's huge. It's about 65% fail within their first 2 years on average.
And
businesses,
men, is it similar?
That's across the board.
Across the board.
But when it comes to women, statistically, 90% will have given up and closed down within 2 years.
It's hard work starting a business.
And I think you just lose. Most people have kind of got what I call firework energy. So there's big enthusiasm and lots of energy, and then it very quickly drops away and wanes. And I think one of the things, if I think about myself, I think I have got marathon runner energy. So I'm the kind of person who will just keep going and keep going, regardless, and relentless, just relentlessly soldiering on. And I think marathon and runner energy is, for any business or enterprise, if you've got marathon runner energy, that's a big advantage, because you can just keep going even when everyone's telling you, oh, it's a waste of time, give up, and you feel that. But it's just, there's something about it said, no, I'm going to find a way. I'm determined.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give
up. I'm very like that. And I think that's why we get on so well, is because, I'm that marathon. When I started this podcast, I signed up to an agency, which I've subsequently left. But I actually bought a lifetime subscription. And it was a huge amount of money. Unfortunately, they weren't very good at editing the podcast, so I had to go. However, it for one moment, it never crossed my mind that I wouldn't be doing this podcast in 10, 20 years' time.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, I'm starting a podcast, it's for life.
Yes, interesting. No, it's good. It's good to have that, because most people give up and their energy wanes. And so keeping going and building over consistently over time, things build and build and build, and you get better and better.
Sorry to interrupt this podcast. The Wellness Way has got a brand new interactive ebook out. I've created a beginner's guide to your natural health systems to help you navigate through the jungle of natural health. A banquet of knowledge wrapped up in a simple ebook, featuring some of my top guests from the podcast. As an added bonus, I've even thrown in my meditation album, The Wellness Awakening, From Past Lives to Passing. Head over to my webpage, phillyjlay.com, to grab your copy now. And while you're there, why don't you sign up for my newsletter? And don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this podcast so we can continue to get this information out. Remember, the doctor of your future is you. But Red Letter Day went wrong.
We were corporately mugged, is the truth of it. I learned a huge amount through, because I set up that business literally on a shoestring, built it up into a multi-million turnover market leading brand. And we were actually forced into administration. We had £3.3 million cash at bank when we were forced into administration. And I really got how ruthless the world of big corporate is, banking. Entrepreneurs and small businesses are like commodities, which the big corporations are constantly looking to harvest, you know, small companies that are successful that they can pick off and absorb up into. And you see it all the time, like with Innocent Drinks or even Body Shop.
Body Shop, it happened,
you know,
to
got sucked Green into L'Oreal. Innocent got sucked into Nestle, I think, or, you know, or Coca-Cola, or, you know, and they lose their integrity. So they're constantly looking for these successful niche brands that they can basically turn into mainstream brands, and they kind of get corrupted along the way, you know.
I don't understand, with £3.5 million in the bank, how you can be forced into administration. How can they do that?
So basically, Red Letter Days, without wishing to get too complicated, Red Letter Days was selling vouchers for experiences. So you were saying you bought one for your husband, might have been a Christmas present for a hot air balloon flight, and he may well not have gone flying until April or June or July. So what the bank said is, we've got a huge contingent liability because you're selling these pieces of paper, but what happens if you don't honour that piece of paper down the line? So what they did was they basically said, if you sell one of those vouchers on a credit card, we won't give you the money until after the voucher's been actually, the person's actually gone and flown, or it's expired. So what that meant was, in terms of our cash flow, all, you know, in business, like, it takes a huge amount of work and marketing just to get a sale, and then you've got to process the sale, and then there's all the packaging, and then you've got to pay VAT on it.
Yep.
But you don't get any of that money.
And pay the tax up front.
Exactly. You don't get any of that money under what they were, what they enforced on us, until, you know, maybe 6, 9, 12 months down the line. So it strangled our cash flow literally overnight. And the challenge you have in business is that cash is everything. So if you've suddenly, and we were taking millions of pounds on credit card sales, so suddenly, boom, all of your cash flow is just completely stopped. So we went through just an agonizing 3 years of trying to refinance the business. And it's very difficult to finance your way out of a cash flow hole, and it was completely enforced by the banks. And I believe, looking back, that they were acting illegally, unlawfully. And actually, after it all crashed, then we were forced into administration. So Barclays, there was 3.3 million cash at bank. The administrators took 300,000 as their fee. Barclays took 500,000 as their fee. And the balance of the 2.5 million went to Peter and Theo, my fellow dragons, who they sold the business to for peanuts out of administration for £250,000. And they gave them the 2.5 million to honour all the vouchers running off. So it was a complete stitch up. So I think actually it was At the time, it was a nightmare, but everything I've learned now through my sort of shamanic work, that everything is a blessing, everything is a gift. It's just sometimes it takes you a little while to find the gift. But what it meant was, with the whole of the COVID nonsense, I could instantly see through that this was big. This had the fingerprints of a big corporate hostile takeover bid all over it. And it made it easy for me to research and work out what the World Economic Forum was doing with all of the, you know, the huge amounts of money that were being made through the whole COVID thing. Big pharma,
vast amounts,
massive transfer of wealth from the poorest people to the richest people. The rich got super rich. More billionaires were created during COVID and lockdown than at any other time
in history.
Of mankind.
Yeah.
So I have to say, I look at it through very cynical eyes. I don't know how far we want to go into. I wouldn't even call them conspiracy theories, because they're actually conspiracy facts, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Mm. You know, everybody knows this now. And, you know, we've seen in the mainstream media talking about Matt Hancock's mates and the billions on PPE.
Complete corruption. I mean, I've delved into the world of politics, and the deeper I go into it, the more I'm just like, shocking. It's not until you go into a world and you start digging around in it that you realize, oh my God, this is so corrupt. It's unbelievable how corrupt.
We're going to come to politics later.
Yes, I don't want people to switch off, because a lot of people do switch off, but politics does affect every single one of us. I mean, we are being railroaded, and we have given a lot of our power away inadvertently. We've sleepwalked into what is essentially a digital totalitarian nightmare future if we do not pattern interrupt it.
We'll come to that.
Let's not go too far down that rabbit hole now.
I want to come back to the dragon. So yes. There you are, the dragon. And we're in the year of the dragon.
Yeah.
Talk to us about the year of the dragon in the yes. Chinese calendar and what it means for all of us. And
So, yes, I'm very much into feng shui and Eastern metaphysical wisdom and the I Ching, and all of these things are interwoven. So there are 12 Chinese animals, and the dragon is the only mythical creature of the 12. All of the others are 3D.
The dragon and the mythical?
Well, this is the thing. It's a higher dimensional, like unicorns, dragons. Now, there may have been a time when dragons were wandering the earth, and, you know, they were when the dimensions were closer, shall we say, like if you think in the Bible, there were angels appeared all the time, didn't they? The angel Gabriel appeared. So it's like in the ancient times, the dimensions were a lot closer, whereas I think it's fair to say now that the 3D realm is a lot heavier, lower vibration. So there's kind of more energetic distance between this low vibration, heavy 3D reality and those higher dimensions where the mythical, magical creatures exist. I mean, you know it's true, because if you look on the royal coat of arms, there's a lion with a crown on, and there's a unicorn with a chain round its neck tied to the earth.
Yeah.
Now, look at the symbolism of that. It's there, hidden in plain sight. And what it basically means is the royalty is the king of the 3D reality realm, but it's also tying the unicorn, the higher dimensional metaphysical creature, into this. It's using metaphysical power to hold on to its, it's using higher dimensional metaphysical powers to rule the 3D realm. That's what it's telling you. So this higher dimensional creature, so in the Chinese scheme of things, the dragon is a hugely auspicious celestial creature. Now, the interesting thing is, if you look at the sequence of the animals, you have the year of the tiger, which was in 2022. Then the year of the rabbit. Now, you're a rabbit, Philly.
I'm a rabbit.
That's 2023. And then you have the year of the dragon currently in 2024. Now, symbolically, the tiger and the dragon are like the two walls of a tornado. Think of a hurricane or a tornado. Super strong, yang, powerful energy. The tiger, a hugely powerful 3D creature like the lion in the coat of arms. Supreme in the 3D realm. The tigers, the lions, yeah. And then you've got the magical, mythical creature of the dragon. And the rabbit, it's like holds the eye of the storm. It's that sweet spot, that stillness, inside the tornado is there's a stillness in the eye of the storm. And that is the rabbit. So when you have a tiger and a dragon, the rabbit is the beautiful antidote that holds, like we have our group and we've got lots of tigers and we've got lots of dragons. And then suddenly you showed up and it's like, oh, we got a rabbit. It's like the completed the set. So the rabbit is yin. And so it's a very beautiful yin antidote to this massive yang of the tiger and the dragon. So what they say is in a year of the dragon, it's like magic can happen because it's a magical, mythical creature. So it's a year when things can manifest out of left field that seem impossible. So it's a year that a huge transformation can happen. And like a turning point, like 2000 was the year of the dragon and 2012. So you remember back in the year 2000, that was the dot-com boom. Suddenly, that was...
Yeah.
And there was that whole thing about the millennium bug and that moving from 1999 into the new millennium.
And we were all terrified our computers were going to crash.
Exactly. And then the whole of the dot-com came out of that. And just suddenly, all of these incredible companies that were worth billions out of nothing, just on a whim and a prayer, wing and a prayer. Then you had 2012, which was that whole 21-12-12, which was the ending of the Mayan calendar. So there was that very mythical, magical shift in energy that happened in 2012, if you remember.
Yes,
that
I
shift
do.
In the Mayan calendar. So again, 2024, this is the year of the wood dragon, so it's my 60th year. It's an echo of 1964. So we're currently doing a bit of a rerun of the 1960s, and think of the 1960s, all of these wars like Vietnam, and then this huge hippie flower power.
Love and peace movement.
Love and peace energy movement.
The
and
Beatles.
That whole awakening of consciousness, which I think is repeating itself. And I know we're going to talk a bit about shamanic medicine, plant medicine.
We are.
And there's the whole shit show going on, there is also, it has inspired a tremendous awakening of consciousness and a shift in energy. And all of these incredible medicines are coming out of the jungles and making their way across the planet. So there's definitely a transformational shift happening. So I think this year is very pivotal.
Well, it is. And, we've just had the eclipse on the 8th of April.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, obviously, the world hasn't come to an end because we're still here. And it's not... the eclipse isn't just a kind of dead end. Here's the eclipse. Here's, this.
Yeah.
It's a doorway, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So if you imagine the sun's energy is constantly streaming, and it's not just heat and light. It's almost like communication codes. So they're constantly streaming to the earth. So it's almost like we're connected to the sun by this constant stream. Even when it's our nighttime, obviously that stream of energy is still hitting the earth on the other side of the planet. So it's like an umbilical cord. But what happens when you have a total solar eclipse is that it's like that stream of communication and energy is cut. And it's pattern interrupted, and it's for 4 minutes in this total solar eclipse. So that you've got, it's almost like switching your computer off and then rebooting it and switching it back on.
Oh, what a beautiful analogy.
So it's kind of like, it's like a massive break in that it's a pattern interrupt. And then when that energy reconnects, when the moon, and this is very symbolic, you've got this tiny piece of rock, which because of the... because of obviously the mathematics of it, is even though, and then we're talking about yin and yang, so the moon is extremely yin, tiny, but it has got the power because of the geometry, to completely block this huge star and this huge energy. Mm-hmm. This yin can block this yang. So it is very symbolic of that solar energy, of that huge masculine, patriarchal king energy being blocked by the yin feminine and being pattern interrupted. So we talked a bit about this, you know, this global takeover bid. We've got a new king now who's suddenly, well, allegedly fallen ill with cancer. I mean, it's a kind of seismic shift, which had, and it was interesting because I was watching an amazing live stream with Sasha Stone where he had all of the tribal elders from various, from Aboriginal Australia and from, you know, the Americas, explaining just how important and powerful this eclipse is, because it's going to cross across America. The path of it is across America. Yeah, and there was one in 2017, which also, so they've two of them made a cross.
Well, an X, and we yes. have to kind of talk about Twitter now being called X, and, you know, X marking the spot. But I just want to say I love yeah. that analogy about, you know, this eclipse, like turning off your computer. And there's that amazing, and I think it's Anne Lamont quote, where she says, everything will work again if you unplug it for a minute. You know, this X, this cross that's coming in, you know, it's a doorway opening. It's a yeah. reboot for the system. But there's something really interesting that you were telling me earlier that you heard on the Sasha Stone. And we'll actually put the Sasha Stone interview podcast in the show notes. So go and check that yeah. out if you want to learn a little bit more. But this X, so it's made up with one that happened, you know, the solar eclipse that happened in 2017. And there were five towns on that line, all called Salem.
Yes.
Now, everybody's heard of Salem because of the Salem witches. I thought there was one Salem in America. I didn't realise there were five, and they're all on a straight line.
Yeah.
And so the eclipse on the 8th, that completed the cross, and you've got another whole row of the same name towns.
Well, so I think that what the towns are called Nineveh. So there's five towns called Nineveh, all with the same name. So what Sasha Stone was saying, this is where I got this information from, and he explained it far better than I can, but it's almost like the ancients, when they were creating these towns and naming them, it was in anticipation of these eclipses and these wow. eclipse paths. So it's very fascinating. And I didn't actually quite realise the power and potency of the eclipses and how important they are until I watched that live stream. So it's well worth listening to.
I need to get Sasha Stone on the podcast, don't I?
He'd be brilliant, yes. I mean, he's a controversial character. But, you know, I like to keep an open... I mean, lots of people are, oh, so-and-so's this and so-and-so's controlled opposition and blah, blah, blah. But I personally like to just keep an open mind.
Same here.
And be receptive and take the bits which work and which resonate, and other bits which don't, leave those behind.
Yeah, I completely yeah. agree with you there. There's so much about controlled opposition and people being shills, yep. and I'm sure I've been called a shill.
Oh, I have too. Constantly. It's just like, it gets boring after a while.
It does. And there are people that I've had on the podcast, like Dr. Aseem Malhotra, and everybody's going controlled opposition. But, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, he made mistakes. He went on TV and told people, you know, to take an injection.
Yeah.
But then he paid the ultimate price. You know, he became jab damaged and he lost his father to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when people want to stand up and then go, hang on, something's wrong here, then I think, you know, my role, how I see my role as a podcast host, is to give people a voice that speak the truth, my truth.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is the thing. Is no one beyond redemption? I mean, everyone in this movement is saying, we want to wake everyone up. Well, by definition, before someone was awake, they were asleep. They were in the program. And let's not forget that what was done was like MK Ultra military grade psychological yeah. operations. So I believe it's important for us to have compassion, to have compassion for all those people who totally went along with it and totally believed. I mean, it was the behavioral psychology that was deployed to get people to do what they wanted was just off the charts. So I do think it's important for us to have compassion, that no one is beyond redemption. You know, if someone wakes up and realizes that they've made a mistake, you know, then we have to have compassion.
Yeah. We do.
Yeah.
We do. And it's, you say that, and it's interesting that you were on the Dragon's Den, Rachel Elno, and now you're Rachel Elno Love. We have love there because your life has quite radically transformed, hasn't it, really, since those days?
Yeah. So just a potted history of that. So what happened was Red Letter Days went into administration and I completely lost it, which was devastating. But, you know, as they say, when one door closes, somewhere a window opens. And I'd just been on Dragon's Den. I had that kind of celebrity entrepreneur fame. And of course, the media was completely mocking me, Dragon fails and all of the rest of it. But I was given a book deal and an advance, like write whatever book you want. So I wrote a book called Business Nightmares, which actually came out in May 2008. And later in 2008, everything crashed, you know, with the whole banking crash.
Yes. And so, you know, kind of laugh at me. We'll have a look at the whole bloody system. It's you've all gone to pot.
Well, that's the thing. So I suddenly had this, I'd moved my brand into business survivor. So I'd been through a whole business meltdown. I knew. So that book was all about business nightmares, not just my story, but the stories of 20 other entrepreneurs who either pulled back from the edge or if they fell over and failed, how they rehabilitated themselves. So it was a book about keeping the faith in the darkness and keeping hope and faith. And so my whole life was repositioned. I was invited to speak at loads of events about my, you know, how to cope with challenging times. And lots of people wanted me to be their mentor and to help them. And so I ended up just, you know, creating a whole business around inspiring, motivating and empowering entrepreneurs on their business journey, which led me to getting really interested in the dynamics of success. So I started with the whole Tony Robbins thing about NLP and mind. And then I progressed on to Esther Hicks and Law of Attraction and energy and vibration. And I eventually opened into shamanic work and plant medicine. And I went to Peru on 4 shamanic pilgrimages and worked with the Quechuan tribes up in the Andes and also down in the jungles of Peru, and started opening to this incredible plant medicine work, which is mind-blowingly powerful. Yes, I know you've experienced it as well, Philly. So we could literally sit here all day and talk about the miracles and magic of
plant magic. So I'm going to let you into a little secret. I've just been away with Rachel because the plant called me. And I do believe that the plant calls you.
Yes, when you're ready, she calls.
When you're ready, she calls and she says, come on in. And it was, I've never experienced anything like it in my life. I don't know how to explain it. I mean, it's so magical.
Yes, it's beyond. That's the thing. It is an experience of going beyond the veil. So going beyond this heavy 3D dimension into higher dimensions, traveling beyond the veil where it's pure love. It's pure sacred geometry and bliss, love. And it's when you make that journey, it's ultra healing because essentially your whole body, the medicine is scanning your whole body, your whole psyche, and it's helping you to shift that energy and to heal. So anything that's stuck, anything that's challenging, any traumas, anything that's blocking, it will find. And it can be quite hard work.
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of work on myself. I've done a lot of work on myself. I've been a little bit lapsed lately since I started the podcast. But, you know, after all of my traumas and everything, I've done a lot of work. But nothing prepared me for this. And yeah. The amount of purging I did. Now, I didn't do the Cambo because I cocked up here and I want to talk to you about Cambo. But I didn't realise that we couldn't eat before it. And there was some breakfast out on the island for people that weren't doing the Cambo. And I just grabbed something and you went, oh, you're not doing Cambo. I went, yeah. You went, well, you can't. You've just eaten. I'm like, oh, OK.
Yeah.
Talk to us about Cambo and purging. What is purging?
So ayahuasca is plant-based. It's a mix of the vine, the ayahuasca vine, and then it's a second plant ingredient. So it can be chacruna leaves or it can be mimosa. So there's blends and it's that fusion, the alchemical fusion that creates the magical elixir, shall we call it?
Yes.
The thing about the frog, the Cambo frog, it's obviously that's frog-based medicine. And it's a lot of people call it Dr. Cambo. So basically what happens is they burn a few little holes in your skin with just an incense stick just to get the top layer off so that you are receiving the Cambo. It's not a poison, it's a peptide. So the Cambo frog is a poisonous frog. It has no predators. It's invincible. And the ancient tribes discovered that when they had Cambo, it gave them like radiant health and ability to survive in the jungle. So it's like nothing could touch you. So like incredibly powerful for your immune system and for healing. So what they do is they put these bobbles of this frog peptide, I won't call it poison, onto these holes, and you can literally feel, it's a bit like this heat rising through your whole body, and you can feel the frog is just like scanning you, and eventually it gives you this huge purging. You drink a lot of water before you do this, and you're basically violently sick, and it's kind of like a bile purge. So it's kind of bright yellow, or can be green, all sorts of colors of, as it's just basically cleansing your whole body, so that purging is being sick. So with all of these medicines, what they're basically doing is they're helping you to clear your energetic field, because we're basically all energy. But when you have trauma, any trauma in life, or which can be emotional trauma or physical trauma, like maybe you had an accident, or maybe you had abuse when you were a child, if you can't fight and you can't flight, you freeze. And so that huge kinetic energy, which would allow you to run like crazy to escape the tiger, or to fight, to actually find incredible strength, a bit like when a mother picks up a car,
yes,
to rescue her child.
Yep.
Just find this incredible strength, that huge kinetic energy. If you can't fight or flight, what happens is you freeze, and so you close down. So as a young child, you have no alternative but to freeze. So this thing is happening to you, but you're kind of not present. And so that huge kinetic energy is frozen into your energetic grid, where it's a block. And so it can manifest in illness and challenges, all these metaphysical roots of physical disease.
And they can come out many years later. You know,
absolutely.
The body is so clever at storing them for...
Yeah. It's like stuck energy that's stored in there. So when you work with these medicines, what the medicines are doing is they're finding these blockages and healing and clearing and releasing. And quite often it can be a very strong purge. It can be crying. It can be being sick. It can be shaking. So it's basically the medicine is trying to release all this kinetic energy, purge it through so that you're free. And that you can flow again. So that's essentially the work.
I've just started scratching my head as we're talking now, because, as you know, the one thing that happened to me was I was scratching uncontrollably, absolutely uncontrollably. And now just even thinking about it, I just want to scratch again. But I was like ripping at my whole body, which is very interesting, because when, I'm an EFT tapper, and when I tap and I go into the matrix, I become really itchy. Mm. And so exactly the same happened to me with the plant. Now, when I go into the matrix and I itch, I'm releasing trauma, but this was a whole another level of releasing trauma. The itching was, I fetch blood on certain parts of my body,
okay,
because I could not stop this itching. But I could actually see through the trauma. Mm. So I didn't just go into the trauma, but I could see through it.
Mm.
And I realized that it wasn't just the trauma held on in my life, which I've, worked on many, many times, lots of different traumas, but it was my feeling of being inadequate.
Mm.
That I felt inadequate, and that's why I was itching. There was a self-loathing in there, that I've never addressed. I mean, so much came up for me that I was just like, okay, it was a doorway that opened. And I realise I've still got shitloads of work to do, you know. And that's it with the plant medicine. You don't go in, you know. I think a lot of people think that you go in and you have this amazing experience, and a lot of people, you know, do. You know, I've heard Robert F. Kennedy Jr. talk about, you know, a relative of his that, you know, had a lot of trauma, went and, you know, met the plant, came back and was okay, could address everything. But for a lot of people, it's a doorway of going and kind of going, okay, here's what I've got to deal with in my life.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
This is the thing, is that this trauma is kind of hidden in the shadow. So it's the classic thing of whatever we manifest in our life, it's like we're blaming the externals of like, oh, they did this and they did this to me, and the externals are wrong. But when you realize that you are the master manifester of everything in your life, that, and you start to take 100% responsibility for everything that's showing up, whether you're judging it good or bad, it's all my creation. That's incredibly empowering. So everything then becomes a clue. So if you're manifesting wonderful, amazing people and things, that's great. It's a sign you're on the right track. If you're manifesting shit and problems and challenges, very tempting just to judge and try and get rid of these things and make them wrong. But actually, if you say, okay, how did I manifest that? Like, what is that, a mirror of something in me? So the medicine will help you to, because we're master manifestors and everything's a reflection. So it will help you to get to the root of it. And then once you've collapsed that on the inner planes, life doesn't have to show it to you anymore because you're healed. So these people or things just drop away. You don't have to struggle with the externals. You just do the inner work and the externals magically rearrange themselves and magic shows up, you know.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little story now. After we went on retreat, not that long after we went on retreat, I had an episode coming out with the amazing Barbara and Michael O'Neill. Now, I wanted to put it out for the Easter weekend for the significance of the resurrection and, you know, the Easter story, and because Barbara's very religious and I wanted to honour that and bring it out then. And I said to the team, what episode number is this episode? And I got a message back going, it's your 100th episode. Okay, what the fuck is it really? I want to honour my 100th episode. And it's like, okay. And having felt deeply, you know, insecure when I had the medicine, having felt, you know, heaving with imposter syndrome, who am I to tell anybody anything? I'm not a doctor. I'm, you know, but I am a self-healer. You know, I've walked the path.
Yes.
And, you know, and that's a problem that Barbara's had. You know, when people say we want scientific evidence and we know the science has been set up to screw nature, you know, and us, we're all, you know, a study of one. But I was just so lucky to have the experience and then put out this extraordinary 100th episode with the biggest name in natural health, you know, and I just thought, okay, I'm not an imposter. I fucking did it. And I just thought, okay, I'm cool with that. And all of a sudden that horrific imposter syndrome that I had just disappeared after the plant.
Yeah. It's self-love ultimately, isn't it? It's like, stopping beating ourselves up. Yeah. And quite often I used to have this like voice it's my mother's voice, you know, my mother's dead now, but these childhood traumas, these childhood patterns, or what happened to us at school. I mean, they stay with us for decades and until we can clear out those voices and replace them with, and repattern with more nourishing self-talk. We're just like, you know, you're doing well, you're doing great.
But sometimes that is a reverse. And I've just done an episode on ancestral healing with Rafe. And that is an absolute eye-opener. But for me, partly because, you know, I talked about the fact my mum didn't want me. She tried to have an abortion. When that failed, she tried to commit suicide. We went into a mental asylum. But I When I came out, she worshipped me. Mm. And she called me precious. And she had a painting in the hall of a little girl that looked like me that she bought at a kind of... they weren't car boot sales then. What were they? Rummage sales. Okay. She bought at a rummage sale. And she put it up. And the painting was called Precious. And she called me Precious.
Yes.
And I think that's where a lot of my imposter syndrome came in. I felt that I'd put us into an asylum.
Mm.
And therefore, what right did I have? You know, I'd taken my mum and ripped her away from her kids and her husband.
Yeah.
So what right did I have to feel precious?
Yeah. I mean, I did 4 years of professional trauma healing training, and including working with Dr. Gabor Maté. And so the trauma is like a Jenga tower. So the lower you can get on the Jenga tower and pull those bricks out, the more trauma you can collapse. So the earliest trauma is in the womb. So if you've been conceived, and this is trauma from the moment you're conceived, even though you may not be consciously aware of it, if you're in the womb and your mother is thinking of killing you, thinking of having an abortion, that is massive childhood development trauma right there, you know. So getting to that root of, like, because your mother is your sole source of life.
Yes.
You know, as a fetus. So the sole source of life, the what you're absolutely dependent on, wants to murder you, and you are completely powerless and at the mercy of this external force. So this is the interesting thing, if we zoom back out into this kind of, you know, current situation of, like, World Economic Forum, these forces beyond our control. It's an echo of the powerlessness that we felt as children, of that helplessness, of being totally at the mercy of this external, this person who was our God, that could just in an instant have ended it for us.
But I mean, I always knew from as young as I can remember that this happened.
Yeah.
But I always knew that, you know, Mum regretted it so much.
Yeah.
Because she loved me so much.
Yes. But the thing is, trauma is, it's not a logical thing. It's, and especially pre-verbal trauma. So things that are happening energetically before you kind of got the words to make sense of it. So that really early trauma, that pre-verbal trauma, is really deeply rooted. And so your mum may have been doing everything she could to assuage her guilt for what, you know, what she put you through. So you end up being very confused, because she's saying you're so precious, but there's, at some level, you're like, that can't be right, because you tried to kill me. You're thinking of killing me. But it's not in the mind. This is energetically.
Yeah.
It's like there's a contraction and an expansion, which there's a mismatch, and there's something out of kilter, because she's saying all these words, you're precious, I love you, I love you, I love you, but at another level, but you were going to kill me, and I can still feel all of that fear and vulnerability. So do you see it? So I do.
So
you're not safe within your own skin. So then you're starting to scratch.
That's why I'm scratching, because I don't feel safe within my own skin.
Yes, because it's like there's something out of kilter, but you don't know what it is. And so that's what the medicine is helping you to get to, that really deep, all those lower Jenga, really to take you there, to those places where you are that terrified fetus who is totally vulnerable. So it's very magical work. And that's why it's so deeply healing, because it's difficult to get there through the mind or through any other modality. This is why these medicines are master plant teachers. They are deeply healing and they are incredibly enlightening. So you get to that point after you've done all the purging where it's literally you're opened a portal and you're just receiving downloads of infinite intelligence. I mean, my book literally came post a medicine journey in the jungle, where I literally woke up with this thought block of boom, this whole concept for a book, the title, the design, everything, the content. It was just like, oh my God, like waking from a dream and having to quickly write it all down before it disappeared.
I have to bring up your book, because it is truly one of the cleverest, if not the cleverest concept I have ever seen for a book. So, liberation. How to manifest joy, abundance, love, vitality, happiness, faith, and flow. But if you turn it on the other side, you've got liberation. How to transcend fear, struggle, pain, scarcity, despair, illness, and depression. So in the centre of this book, you have some amazing, beautiful coloured photos. And again, they're up the other way. You know, we're looking at sacred geometry and sacred signs of the universe. You know, kind of everything is in here. But you're reading it from two different perspectives of liberation. What is liberation? Talk us through this masterpiece,
yeah, Rachel. Yeah, well, this is the thing. It's that whole concept was downloaded. So it wasn't like, I've got a bright idea. It was literally, here is a complete concept and it's, you need to be able to read it from both ends. But I also realized, because that book was downloaded in, it was about February 2020. And just as I was flying back to the UK in March 2020, people had masks on in the plane and there was this whole like fear coming in. And then we all went into lockdown. And it actually took me 3 years of actually working through the material to actually get to that point where I have to write this, you know, because I'd been living the content, I'd been living the material. And I realize now, looking back, that what the medicine was showing me was that these two sides, these two aspects, is like, one aspect is like going beyond the veil and realizing the beauty and the magic of the heaven that lies beyond this 3D reality. But most of us are stuck in the false matrix. And the false matrix, this 3D heavy vibration, has been manufactured over many hundreds of years to keep us under control. So
subdued and quiet.
Yeah, and completely obedient slaves to a system. And so that's why that black and white side, I mean, if you look at all of the black and white symbolism, where do you see black and white? You see it on Masonic checkerboards. Yep. You see it when you go to court, they always wear black and white. Yep. So this, and yin and yang, black and white. So this is the duality trap, which has been built into our society. And those masters, shall we say, who understood the metaphysical secrets, who were part of the mystery schools, you know, all of this Masonic metaphysical knowledge and all of the mystery school wisdom, all the skull and bones, they knew the secrets of how to use power to lock down the people and lock down power, hence the coat of arms with the lion and the unicorn. Hence, when you go to the Houses of Parliament, you see it's a giant machine, an energy machine filled with symbolism. And
the Vatican's another one.
Exactly, built to exact sacred geometry, built to exactly on the cardinal points. If you look at the whole of the COVID thing, all of those key decisions were made on the equinoxes and the solstices. Yep. They were using metaphysical magic to lock down power over the people. And so that whole black and white side is about creating awareness of the trap, the matrix, the false matrix, a bit like in the film The Matrix, you know.
Because, as Bruce Lipton says, it's not a film, it's a documentary.
Yeah. So we are trapped and most people are blissfully unaware of the level of the trap. And that includes everything from fluoride in the water, the toxins, the chemtrails, the 5G. We are in a soup of chaotic, low vibrational, dense energy, which keeps us from connecting from that higher dimensions to where the angels are, to where the metaphysical creatures are, to that infinite wisdom. And that's why they've demonized all of these plant medicines. They don't want the people. They don't want enlightened, healthy, vibrant, vital people. They want people who are easy to trigger into fight-flight response. They don't want self-actualized people. So Big Pharma, I mean, is making a fortune. It's nothing to do with healing whatsoever. No. It's all just big business. So these healing modalities, these natural medicines, this restoration, I mean, you can totally get why there was the whole purging of the witches back in the day.
Again, because, in Salem, yeah.
Yeah, they were trying to, the you know, the powers that be, they didn't want this natural, magical remedies and medicines. They wanted to have control. And so what did they do? They purged the witches.
But they also did that on a sexual level because, you know, they went for them for their knowledge and their ability to use plants.
Mm.
But they also went for the witches by saying, oh, you were thinking about John Proctor and therefore made him lust after you when he was married. So they were very much trying to get these young girls on their sexual activities, even though they hadn't done anything.
Yes.
Just for thinking about John Proctor.
Yes.
You know, it was a truly wicked time. Now, we all know, I think we all know, I mean, I keep saying it, shit-hot manifesto. I have had many occasions in my life where I have focused on somebody and then they've picked up the phone or said, do you want to go for dinner or whatever? So we do know that we have the power to do this.
Yes.
And so these young girls, you know, in the Salem witch trials, they must have known that they had the power to do it, that they could have thought of somebody.
Mm.
But you know, this whole thing... You know, the witch hunts, you didn't stand a chance. They put you on a ducking stool and, you know, if you died, you weren't a witch. And if you survived, oh, you were, and they'd burn you at the stakes. And you were fucked. You know, it was that simple. They wanted to get rid of all of that power. And they do now. And I think this is one of the things that worries me the most. And I try not to live in fear and worry, but it does worry me that with all the locking down of information on plant medicine, on, you know, kind of, as you know, I've been taken down for posts on the benefits of horseradishes and stinging nettles. What we're doing is we're losing not just the elders' wisdom of the tribes, but we're losing our grandmothers' wisdom.
Yes, yeah.
And this is highly alarming.
Yeah.
And you talked about big business. And, you know, if you go into any garden centre or supermarket that sells, you know, pesticides and herbicides and everything, what are the two plants that they always have on the bottle? The dandelion and the stinging nettle. They're not weeds.
Mm.
They're the two greatest healers that we have in the UK.
Yes.
But, you know, obviously Monsanto and, you know, now Bayer, they don't want us to know the power of those plants.
Yeah, this is the thing, that there's no money in natural healing, and there's no money if you can grow your own vegetables and you could got a whole herb garden and you can heal yourself. Where's the profit for the big corporations? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm a big follower of Marianne Williamson over in America.
Yeah.
She's got no hope because the whole of politics is stitched up, and yet she's still speaking out. And she says that, you know, in the American Constitution, it was by the people, for the people, of the people. But now everything is by the big corporations, for the big corporations, of the big corporations. We basically sold out, and everything is run through money and power.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is, and there's a lot of forces, those false matrix forces who are exerting and abusing that power over us to, I mean, just look at what they did with the whole jabs. Absolutely shocking, the levels that they went to persuade and con people to avail themselves of this.
They didn't really persuade, they forced people.
Well, I mean, this completely experimental, just through the degree of psyops and the forcing and the lies and the manipulation, turning cathedrals into jab centres. I mean, it's just like, oh my, it was so satanic, actually.
It was so satanic. I remember my daughter just after, she nearly wavered, my eldest daughter nearly wavered because she wanted to go to the nightclubs when they opened again on the 1st of December and said, I can't be the only one. But she didn't. But then she, you know, she didn't have it. And I said, they're going to open the nightclubs, lovey. You know, they're going to do it. So she went down heaven a week later in London and they built a stage where they were jabbing anybody that ever had the jab.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Because they'd had to, you know, the government had to backtrack because it was illegal what they were doing.
Yeah.
And so places like Heaven were saying, come in here and we'll give you a free cocktail if you come and sit on our little stage and have your jab while we play music to you. And, it's, you know, my daughter filmed this and I'm going, just get out of there. Just the fuck get out of there.
This is criminal what they did.
You know, there were countries that you could go and have a blowjob in a brothel if you had the jab.
Oh my goodness.
You know, we all know that in America they were giving you a McDonald's because they're healthy if you went and had the jab. You know, that'll stop you getting COVID.
Well, it was very sinister in Peru that they had a regime there, and it was obvious that they were getting a huge amount of funding from the World Economic Forum to implement it, the whole thing in lockstep, absolutely to the letter. And in Peru, you had to have your children jabbed to go to school. And if you, in Peru, if you don't send your children to school, then you get put in prison. So they had no choice. Peruvian people, they had to give all of their children the jab. Otherwise, they would risk going into prison because they wouldn't be allowed to go to school. And if you don't send your children to school, then that's an imprisonable offence. So these third world countries, I mean, I think Africa stood up against it, and a lot of countries in Africa rejected the whole thing.
Well, Africa, I was looking at the charts coming out, you know, kind of, you know, they were doing that briefing on the news every day at 5 o'clock. Yay! But, you know, we were looking at the charts coming out of other countries, or, you know, those of us that were looking at the independent news and not the mainstream media. And Africa was flatlining the whole time. And that's when people started talking about the fact, well, hang on, why is Africa flatlining?
Yeah.
Well, they were having ivermectin every week.
Yes.
Because ivermectin, you know, was for riverworm parasites. And, you know, so on Sundays, many countries in Africa, you queue up and you get your ivermectin. And then you didn't get COVID. Funny that. But we weren't allowed to talk about it. And we were shut down for having these discussions of, you know, because if there had been a cure for COVID, then you couldn't do an emergency force power, which was the jab.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, they couldn't let this out.
Yeah.
And also ivermectin is, you know, how many Nobel Prizes has it won? I mean, 2, 3? I mean, it's a phenomenal medicine. It's actually a Western medicine based, you know, Japanese scientists developed it on plants. Again, we always come back to the plants, you know.
But no money in ivermectin, right?
There's no money in ivermectin either.
Yeah. So this is the thing. So when you look at it, and I obviously looked at the whole thing through the lens of my big corporate experience and realising it's all about money, control and power. Yeah, so this is what we're up against, and that hence why the book with the false matrix, and we are in, and once you start noticing it and seeing it, then you realize the extent of it.
You do. And where can people get your book?
So it's published by Source, actually, source.tv. So source.tv/liberation, or you could go to my site, rachelelnor.com, and you can track it through
there. And
we'll
put that in the show notes, because you really should go and get a copy of this book. But before we leave the podcast, and I know we're running out of time, politics, Rachel. Just a very, very, we know it's corrupt.
Yeah.
We know it's really hard to break through the system of the powers that be.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself having a future in politics? Make my day.
Well, I do believe that there are a lot of people who are standing up and speaking out now. And I love the fact that George Galloway got voted in Rochdale. That was a massive breakthrough, not just for the fact he got voted in, but the runner-up was an independent. So
it was, and I was so thrilled when George Galloway got in. However, I then saw him on an interview with somebody ripping them to shreds because they were an anti-vaxxer. And, you know, so you're going, hang on, you might have stood up for Palestine, mate, but you're an anti-vaxxer. You're shredding us.
I mean, this is the challenge, because no one is like a complete package. So So just zooming out of the individual individual sort of personalities and parties, what we have to realise is that the con party, the Conservative Party and the Labour Party, as he described them, are two cheeks of the same arse.
Yes.
That they have got such a grip on political power. Everything is set up for it to either be blue or red. And you're essentially voting for the same thing. They're yes. both aligned to the World Economic Forum. So the big question is, how do we, the people, break that big corporate power, which is locked into politics? We saw that with the World Economic Forum, that they put all of these young leaders in place, Trudeau in Canada, Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand, Macron in France. They worked out how to win elections, groomed all of the people and put them in all these positions of power. So the whole of the system is completely corrupt. And I was looking at standing for one of the new mayor elections and quickly realised the whole thing, all these regional combined county authorities, it's just another layer of government where they can push through things like 15-minute cities, ULEZ, they're now calling them clean air zones. It's huge business. These are massive new markets, and it's not going to stop at you're not allowed to drive your car. It's when they get into facial recognition, digital currency, you know, so...
That's the thing that worries me, you know,
it's
massive. Looking at the Chinese system.
Yeah,
now.
The social credit system. Yeah. And then you really will be scuppered, because if you haven't got if you're not up to date with whatever they tell you you have to have, you won't be able to access your money, you won't be able to travel. I mean, it's a nightmare totalitarian control system. So that's why I'm interested in politics. I want to speak out, to stand, to be a voice, to pattern interrupt, to encourage independents to stand, and just hoping that the people will wake up en masse to be able to pattern interrupt this nightmare future that we are going to be sleepwalking into if we don't stand up and say no. So that's why I started getting interested in politics.
And I just, you know, pray that you continue with that journey and you keep standing up for the people, Rachel. You know, it's... I was just going to say about, you know, banks and everything. I went to pay quite a large bill recently, and my bank turned it down until I could prove that I was up to date with my tax.
Really?
And it's like, hang on, you're not the fucking taxman. You don't tell me how I can spend my money.
This is the thing.
But everything is being digitalised. And then I had a flat tyre on the car and I called the AA. And the first message it says, if you're not up to date with your tax and your insurance and your MOT, they won't attend the vehicle. You know, and you know, that's kind of fair enough. I get that. But, you know, the whole time...
The net is closing in. Absolutely. And that's the thing, when all of these digital, everything ties up. So you literally won't be able to do anything unless you're fully compliant. And that's why so many people are wanting to kind of unplug, go off grid, you know, just detach from the system, because it is like these walls are closing in. It's getting more and more everything digital. And yeah, it's quite a frightening future. But the good thing is that there are so many people now who are speaking out, co-creating different alternative future realities, like all the work you're doing, the Alternative Health, the People's Health Alliance, and people restoring...
Healthcare the Future, World Council for Health.
Yeah,
the
we
Doctors
have
Alliance,
to just co-create
all, yeah.
an alternative, because otherwise we are going to be in serious trouble.
Well, that has been a fascinating episode. My first dragon. Thank you for everything you do, Rachel, for speaking out. We're going to put in the show notes everywhere that you can find Rachel. And I really can't impress on you enough how you should come and seek this lady out. I mean, you were a lifesaver to me in 2020 when you were doing Zooms every week you started in those lockdowns. And when I felt that my whole life was falling apart and that I was on my own, I came across you right back at the beginning of all this. And I'm so grateful from the bottom of my heart. Rachel Elno, love, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. It has been a privilege and an honour. Thank you.
Thanks, Philly. Thanks for inviting me.